With us today is Ambassador John Bolton. He was UN ambassador in 2005 and 2006, and then he was a national security advisor to President Trump in 2018 and 2019.
Ambassador Bolton, it's frightening what's going on, and to see Antony Blinken speaking at the UN and issuing those dire warnings, what is exactly going on? Is Russia invading Ukraine?
Well, in my view, I don't think Vladimir Putin has made his mind up yet. I think it's entirely possible. I don't think anybody should have any doubts that he's assembled the capabilities and put them around Ukraine's borders and in the Black Sea to go in and take as much of the country as he wants. Whether he will actually do that or not depends on how successful he is diplomatically in achieving his larger strategic interest, which primarily centers on fracturing NATO. And he's been at that. We'll have to see what the results are. But a lot of what Putin is doing, I think, is classic brinkmanship. Again, I'm not in any way implying that he's not capable of going in and invading. But if he can get it for free, in effect, he will try and do that. And I worry that the administration is so consumed by the reaction to its catastrophic withdrawal from Afghanistan that it's overhyping the imminence of the potential attack. There's a boy who cries wolf phenomenon that's at risk here. Now, having said that, I don't think any of us should let our guard down. But I also think that the Russians are playing a very agile diplomatic game, and I don't think we're at their level at this point.
Ed Cox, you know that area very well. Ed Cox.
Yeah. Ambassador, what he's done is actually united NATO. He has aroused nationalism even higher than it has been in the Ukraine. How does he back down from putting 130,000 troops around Ukraine and then not do anything?
Well, I don't think it's a question of not doing anything. I think the issue is whether, as I say, he can get people in Germany, the new chancellor, so worried that they begin to look for concessions. In France, we've already heard Emmanuel Macron, who's in a potentially very difficult presidential reelection contest this year, talk about negotiating a new strategic framework for Europe with the Russians. So there's a lot at play there. But even in Ukraine, he could, as one option, invade not to take the whole country, but to take the culturally Russian parts, the Russian-speaking Eastern Orthodox parts in the eastern and southern areas of the country, and leave the rest of it landlocked. That would be something where he's, I think, as he has done before, by annexing the Crimea and, in effect, taking control of the Donbass area, where he faced almost no penalties under the Obama administration. So he's seen the pattern, and I think our credibility, unfortunately, is pretty weak on that point.
John, this is David Patterson. I was just wondering, suppose Putin stays there, like, for a while. Why is that necessarily bad for him? The rest of the world is always waiting on what he's going to do. And I think that after a while, he can basically wait this out and wait for the most opportune time to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, I think Putin has the momentum and the initiative, and I think we're simply in a reactive mode. That's never a place you want to be. People say, oh, my goodness, he's got 100. Actually, President Biden raised the estimate yesterday to 150,000 troops on the perimeter of Belarus out there in the middle of the winter. I'd say a couple things. Number one, Putin is making money off this crisis. The price of oil remains over $90 a barrel. That's their principal export. So he's happy to keep the crisis going. It's true that the troops are out in the Russian winter, but, you know, they're Russians. They've been through Russian winters before, and he's doing exercises that may come in handy later. So I think time is on his side, and this sense of urgency that we have raises people's pulse and blood pressure, but it may not be good for clear thinking.
So while all the eyes were on the Ukraine, Putin goes to Beijing for the Olympics and appears with President Xi. And they look like they are having a very good time together. What's going on with respect to China and Russia?
Well, I've written a piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. I characterize what's going on as an entente. A French word that hasn't been used much recently, but what it means is something stronger than a good bilateral friendship, but less than a full-up alliance. Now, it can become an alliance, and as I say in this piece, it can become an axis, too. We've seen that before. Very much in our interest to try and split that entente before it grows stronger. But also to understand that because of the threat China poses, and it's very serious, existential for the United States in this century, that doesn't mean we can ignore Ukraine, doesn't mean we can ignore the Middle East just to deal with China. When you see Russia and China acting in tandem, it shows how both of them enhance their power through this entente.
Well, China is a growing power. Russia is a declining power. Does Russia really want to be with one-tenth the population, the much smaller economy, obviously, even on a per capita basis? Do they really want to be the junior partner to China when culturally they're much closer to Europe?
Right. And some analysts are predicting that Putin wants to align himself more so with Western European nations versus China, because he knows that's where the money's at, and he'll lose money if he goes to war.
Yeah. And look, Russia in the 19th century took a lot of land away from China. China'd like to get that back. And there are Chinese people already really running Eastern Russia, Far East Russia.
To get on this point about Russia being the junior partner, because I do think this is important. I mean, they were the senior partner during the Cold War. And that's what makes it, it's not just ironic, it must be painful for the Russians to do this. But when people worry about saying, well, the Russians won't be able to sell oil and gas to the Western Europeans if they do this, they'll be cut off. They're going to sell it to China. China's an incredibly energy poor country. And they would become Russia's best customer.
Ambassador, I was just going to say that as long as Russia's supplying oil and gas to China, I don't think Putin considers himself the junior partner, because they need him to grow.
Well,
and their appetite
for
energy is endless.
Yeah, and they need Russia's sophisticated weapons. But the point I think you were making earlier in terms of population, need for natural resources, territory, a whole range of things, whatever the current balance of military power, it's inevitably going to move in China's direction.
Ambassador, it's Richard Weinberg. I wanted to ask you to use the phrase you use in the title of your book, being in the room. If you were in the room now and they would listen to you, what advice would you be giving the Biden national security people?
I'm still worried that we have not established deterrence, that we have not convinced Putin of the price he's going to pay if he comes in. And let's remember what our objective is. We don't want to punish Russia. We want to stop the invasion before it happens. So I think, and we should have been doing this weeks ago. It's very late. It may be too late. But we've got to increase the pressure on Russia now, not simply the threat of pressure later if he invades. And the point there to put the most pressure on is Nord Stream 2. I think we've got to up the ante by saying Nord Stream 2 will never be turned on until Russia gets its forces out of any country that's part of the former Soviet Union, where the people of the country don't want them there. Not just Ukraine, but Moldova, Georgia, and others.
Ambassador Bolton, do you think of how the U.S. got out of Afghanistan, basically showed Putin that Biden is weak, the United States is weak, we'll be willing to leave behind our men and women and our allies? And maybe he's thinking, you know what, the U.S. is all talk and no action. They're not going to do jack to me.
Yeah, well, it was a total unforced error for Biden to get out. And I think both Russia and China see a strategic vacuum. And they show, along with a lot of other things, that Biden's not prepared to take a strong line other than rhetorically. I mean, for example, at the beginning of the administration, Biden waived sanctions on Nord Stream 2, just gave up the possibility that we could impose them. And now he's talking about putting the sanctions back on. It's after the horse has gotten out of the barn.
Right.
And this has been a pattern, I think, with Biden that I'm afraid that Putin sees. And along with years of failing to respond to Russian aggression in Georgia in 2008, in Ukraine itself in 2014, I think even if Biden is sincere, Putin may still think he's not. And that's where you get miscalculation and war.
Ambassador John Bolton, thank you for everything you've done for America and continue to do for America and speaking out for America. God bless you and God bless America.